This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk, and you can find out more at my website, allbook-books.com. Check out my Substack page, okay? Musings from Between the Lines. So this week I'm just doing little snippets of ideas pretty much off the top of my head. Because this is the 200th show. Whatever that means. I'm not that impressed numerically. It's just another number, but numbers have their significance. But it's as Roger Jones' book that was reviewed a while ago. It's one of the cardinal metaphors. Space, matter, time, and number. There's an illusory aspect to it all. But I didn't want to break the streak. I don't think I've missed a week. In a long, long time. I'm not sure. I don't keep track of that stuff. I pretty much do this on the fly. I plan a little bit, and then I go for it. I make a few notes. I get a book out with some quotes. The interviews take more time and effort, both preparing and editing. But, yeah. So, I also want to note, I enjoy doing it. I do it for me as much as anybody. I just got to feel like sometimes I gotta say stuff and get it out there, and it's cheaper to press record than to talk to a news therapist. I wonder if that's such a profession, but there could be, because I just want to basically for this show give you some dumb it down for you, because I know you're busy. And just to make sure everybody knows, the dumbing it down for you is not presuming you're dumb, but presuming you're busy. You're busy and you don't have time for this stuff, so that's where I like to... So that's where the dumbing it down for you is trying to keep it simple. I try to keep it simple for myself, too, just to remember. I read books, I study, I read news, I watch documentaries, and it takes time to learn the nuances and all that kind of stuff. But at certain points, I just say, you know, it's all actually kind of simple. It is very simple. As my dear old dad used to say, life is simple. People make it complicated. So that's another tidbit to look for the simple answer. And sometimes things are complex, no denying that, but there's often also a simplicity as well. And why do I say news therapist? Because like that can mess with your head. There's so much BS news. Basically the news is corporate. Or as I write sometimes, corpse writ, because corporeal is the bodies, and the news just thrives on, how many dead, this and that, without giving a shit. Basically, the news is sponsored by the same people that are fucking shit up. If you didn't know that, then you have not been listening to the show, nor reading my articles or books for years. Anyway. I'm in a little bit of a saucy mood as I do this. So that's the first order of business, is the news is sponsored by the same people fucking shit up. So that's in general. That's not 100% accurate, but a large percentage. So that's dumbing it down for you, number one. Number two is this. I'm reading this fabulous book, as I mentioned, Empire of Borders by Todd Miller. So here's a paragraph. Also, Chiapas and Mesoamerica was a prime example of a place where, as author Dawn Paley argued in her book Drug War Capitalism, quote, the violence and forced displacement resulting from the drug war are experienced most acutely by poor and working people and migrants, often in resource-rich or geographically strategic areas. So that's one of the umpteen times this book mentions the two-tiered system. And here's another, give you another idea. Borderlands historian Guadalupe Castillo told me in an interview, quote, the nation state has become the policeman for the corporate world, creating borders to clear the landscape for those in the world for whom borders don't exist. That is the 1%. Also, by the way, who controls the news? The 1%. Excuse me, I interrupt. As Alan Burson notes, expediting trade and heightened security are complementary elements of a single process in what has become the cornerstone of our system of border management in the U.S. So there you have it. Expediting trade and heightened security. Like, you don't need to read too far between the lines. What is expedited is the goods and the commerce and all that stuff. So you can one click and get something online. Sure, it's nice sometimes. So you can go a few minutes right over to the local franchise store and get some stuff. Disclaimer, I do it, but I try to minimize it. But there it is. It's the system. This system is designed to provide a certain amount of people with pleasantries, and you just keep it flowing, and it keeps it flowing. Meanwhile, other people are struggling to eat or to get clean water. So it's basically a two-tiered system. Of course, there's nuances, but I'm not going to do too many nuances because this episode is dumbing it down for you. The book continues. The result is co-created regulatory regime, a sort of empire of partnerships involving foreign governments, client regimes, and the private sector to ensure, and here's the line, the free flow of Western civilization. The free flow of Western civilization. Precisely what Australian Department of Home Affairs Secretary Michael Pezzullo was talking about at the International Summit on Borders. So that brings me to dumbing it down number three. If you've been listening, again, if you've been listening or reading, one of my big messages is about learning and being reminded of the native peoples, the indigenous peoples, and caring for the Mother Earth. So what has been the big issue for 500 plus years with colonization is Western civilization. So this system of domination is perpetuated and going, it's perpetuated. It's like the same thing in different packaging, but it's gotten bigger and more out of control and more hard to even keep up with. Thus, books like this. Very fascinating. And more quotes. It is about deregulating an investment to be able to maximize profit. It's often is really about taking natural resources from other countries. So again, many of the indigenous peoples are on the front lines where the resources are. Thus, the problems again. And here again, also small farmers, communal International Monetary Fund, and the CAFTA and NAFTA. The provision that protected the communal land system and the subsequent parceling of land for sale in the free market. So all these things have affected the peasants or the indigenous people or the small farmers, whoever, whatever label, I'm not sure. Opening public utilities such as water, electricity, and oil to privatization. Cut the subsidies and price guarantees once given to the country's many small farmers. So that's where the anger management comes in for me, because you have these people working as hard as one can work to make a living and to provide foods for people. And then you get there's the big corporate fascists, government-backed, corporations that come in and take over what are the natural elements of natural world, water and such like, so that, it's the control freaks doing that, and it affects the local people and the small farmers and stuff. So I got one more on the list to dumbing it down for you. Number four, spirit in matter. Now, this is an ongoing thing. You don't have to study esoterica books. You don't have to read encyclopedias to what you do. Maybe you have to deprogram some religious background to realize that spirit is in matter, and that God, or whatever you want to call it, him, she, they, be it whatever, is in my fingernail, is in the flowers that I see outside on my patio, and the rocks, and the little insects, and, you know, in the sun, and behind it all, it's all basically the same energy. So then, how do you travel your daily journey and your night journey, knowing that? Well, that to me is the not so dumbing it down, but that is some kind of spiritual path or focus, is what I encourage people to find, because I feel like there's just so much aimlessness and wandering, and people mechanized and gadgetized, and they follow that track, which is the line, as I say a lot with the word root for empire, is a straight line. One of the roots that pertains to empire and riches and kings and queens, reg, is a straight line. So from driving to whatever, so much is on those paths. Those are the man-made Western civilization imposed cultural, socio-cultural, political, religious paths. So that's why I, in a lot of my books and stuff, I encourage people to find a path. I'm not going to tell you what path or how to do it. I can't get in. That's not dumbing it down for you. That's an advanced study. And even then, I couldn't. You got to find your own. You got to find something. Even if it's just meditating 5 minutes a day. Even if it's talking to the tree for 15 minutes every day. Something from that level to Zen Buddhist to Gnostic chanting. I don't know. There's umpteen paths out there. So try to find something that relates to your actual heritage and your DNA, instead of being a wannabe. Too many like wannabe natives and wannabe this and wannabe that, and too many wannabe yogis and this and that. So find some kind of path. So thanks for listening. And since I hit 200, the significance of this show is that I'm planning to keep doing them and keep at it, but sometimes it feels like a push, so I may skip some henceforward, but in any case, plan to do them. We'll see how it goes. I do have an interview or two in mind to do in the future, but that'll take some time to get to. And one more, just to give a lit tip, is to, if you're having trouble getting in the groove working on a project, is to find your own sort of method or pace of doing things. So if I'm deep into something and I'm researching or I'm reviewing it or writing it, I lose track of time. I don't have to eat. I could spend hours doing that. But otherwise, the kind of flip side of that is basically I have the attention span of a chipmunk. No offense. What I mean by that is I could spend, you know, 15 minutes working on a project, and then I go do some dishes, come back, spend 5 minutes working on a project, go outside, feed the birds, come back in, go outside, sweep the patio. So I'm actually getting work done, but it's like in little mini 5, 10, 15, maybe half an hour in there. So it's not like, you know, your stereotypical 9-to-5 work ethic or your classroom of enforced 50 minutes. So, you know, if you're in the groove, I can work it. If I'm in the groove, I can work it, timeless kind of thing. But otherwise, I tend to be a short attention span. So is that if I was in school now, they'd probably label me ADHD, because that's, I'd say, a large part of my working pattern is appears as if there's attention deficit. But I wouldn't call it that. I call it, if I give it a diagnostic name, I call it effective use of time, EUT. Let's call it effective use of time, something like that. So anyway, I appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and be well.